organizations that provide help for low-income Wisconsin residents and the state agencies that help fund them could face audits from a legislative committee. That's after an aid agency that received government funding collapsed earlier this year. It's Monday, August 24th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, measles is continuing to spread in southwest Wisconsin. The communities affected have low vaccination rates. And we'll hear from a woman whose 10-year-old daughter inspired the creation of an accessible playground in Milwaukee.
She said, "Playgrounds aren't for me." And I looked back at her and I said, "Well, I'll build you a playground."
It's one of a dozen similar inclusive parks for kids around the state. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state. Thanks to its network of 8 bureaus, with reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
The financial collapse of a Northeast Wisconsin anti-poverty nonprofit could lead to audits of similar agencies across the state, along with state agencies that provide funding. As Joe Schultz reports, NewCap abruptly closed and then filed for bankruptcy earlier this year.
The nonprofit was funded primarily through state and federal grants and served 10 counties. The state's Joint Legislative Audit Committee is set to meet Tuesday to decide whether to conduct an audit of NewCap and other anti-poverty agencies in the Wisconsin Community Action Program Network. A memo from the Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau says the review could look at whether nonprofits are following grant rules and whether they have strong enough financial controls. When it closed, NewCap owed the state more than $940,000 for ineligible expenditures from several grant programs. It also had about $3.6 million in unexpended funding under active state and federal contracts. That's according to state documents obtained through an open records request. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The homeless population has increased in Wisconsin, according to a new report. The Wisconsin Policy Forum found the number of people without shelter went up 4.8% in 2026. That's still lower than it was 10 years ago. Researchers say rising housing prices, worsening economic conditions, and the expiration of pandemic-era support are contributing to the increase. Researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, Don Kramer, says he is concerned that there will be not enough programs to catch the increasing number of people who are losing their homes.
The fear is that more difficult economic conditions will cause more people to have housing insecurity, and the homeless population will rise for that reason.
Kramer says that although Wisconsin's homeless population is up, it is still lower than its neighboring states. Measles continues to spread in far southwestern Wisconsin, with 48 confirmed or probable cases as of Friday. As Hope Kerwin reports, low vaccination rates in some communities are contributing to the outbreak.
According to the state, the cases have been in communities with little to no uptake of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. People who belong to the Amish and Mennonite faiths live in the affected counties. Mark Loudon works as an interpreter and advocate for the so-called plain communities. He says they're more likely to pick and choose vaccines, but that is likely the case of their rural neighbors.
We have to acknowledge that plain people are not unique in their caution about and hesitancy to get their kids vaccinated.
Only 60% of two-year-olds in Lafayette County and 64% in Grant County have gotten an MMR shot. Iowa County's rate matches the state's average at 80%, but even that is well below the 95% needed to stop an outbreak. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
When students return to Wisconsin schools in the next few weeks, a new state law will mean their cell phones have to be put away during class time. But a group of Madison parents say all screens should be limited in classrooms. A group called Parent Check on Tech wants the Madison Metropolitan School District to consider going back to analog. The parents are working on a petition for the school district that could include delaying giving students their own Chromebooks until high school. Jackie Shore is the group's co-founder. She says she doesn't think removing screens will solve every problem, but it should be explored.
moving back to this analog default, I think it could improve the school climates in so many ways.
A presentation by district officials to school board members earlier this year showed students as young as first grade on devices longer than districts' own recommended screen times. But a spokesperson for the district says eliminating technology entirely isn't the right answer. A Wisconsin steam locomotive could come back to the rails this year thanks to volunteers. Avery Martinez says they're diligently working at the Mid-Continent Railway Museum near Baraboo.
Volunteers have completed almost $3 million worth of repairs to engine 1385, like fixing her bell. The ancient engine hasn't run for years, but that's about to change, thanks to volunteers like Pete Dietz, who've tinkered on it for decades.
You have to listen to it. It will tell you what it needs.
Calibrating pistons, testing pressure, and shoveling coal into 1385's boiler.
It's physical labor, but when I get that shovel in my hand, all the pain goes away.
Dietz says the work will be worth it when 1385 pulls her first train.
The little kids, the glow and the smile, that's my paycheck.
If there are enough donations, 1385 could run this winter. Avery Martinez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After the break, we'll hear about an effort to build a playground in Milwaukee that will be accessible to kids of all abilities, and about the 10-year-old girl who inspired it. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is finding where you belong.
I was raised in central Wisconsin, growing up along the sides of shaded ginseng crops.
Deer Camp is more than a place. It is a unique state of mind and being.
I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me.
It draws you closer to each other and closer to the great circle of life.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Wisconsin offers more than a dozen inclusive and accessible playgrounds across the state. There's the Possibility Playground in Port Washington and the Shaw Family Playground in Sheboygan. Now a 10-year-old girl is inspiring the city of Milwaukee to bring play to all. In 2023, Stella Schneider was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in her brain, but the dragon-loving kid isn't letting that stop her. She's ready for a community playground to call her own. Today, we're learning more about the project. I spoke with Stella's mom, Reese Schneider. So about 3 years ago, you learned that Stella has cancer, and it's a tumor in the brain. Now she's 10 years old, and as I understand, she's faced dozens of surgeries. What has this meant for her ability to just be a kid?
Everything changed for her. She had to relearn to walk, to talk, to close her eyes, to swallow. And she has worked so hard to get her abilities back. She had to go through radiation at the Mayo Clinic and then chemotherapy back here at Children's. But a year after that, she was in her walker and we went over to Reservoir Park here. And this was the first time that she had been back since her diagnosis. And Stella was in her walker. And I said, I'll get you out of your walker and take you over to the playground. And she looked down at me and she said, playgrounds aren't for me. And I looked back at her and I said, well, I'll build you a playground. I thought, well, that seems a lot easier than curing cancer.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair assessment and such a wonderful promise to Stella. So this playground is set for Kilbourne Reservoir Park, which is in central Milwaukee. What makes this place special to Stella and your family?
So the location is special because it's just a block and a half from our house, but we used to go there all the time. We would run over there to catch the incredible sunsets. We would play at the playground there on the weekends. As we started to get into it, I realized, oh, you got to figure out, what this all entails. And so part of it was talking with some folks who have already done this before, including Kayla's Playground. This is an incredible playground down in Franklin. I talked with Bookman, who is doing an incredible park, Moss Universal Park, out in Wauwatosa.
I've looked at photos of this layout, and it looks so much fun. A giant purple dragon is at the center of this design. You have music, play, and so much more. But to be accessible for people of all abilities, what does a playground need?
The city is thinking about, how do we design inclusive playgrounds, right? What does that look like? In my mind, when I first was getting into this, I thought, okay, well, it's a lot of ramping. And maybe we have some swings where it's not, quote unquote, a wheelchair swing, but maybe a swing where Stella and Jake and my son and can lay down together and swing together. So it was really important to us and to our partners at the city to make sure that we were including other voices at the table and as a part of this, the planning process, and getting feedback from others.
So what were just some items top of mind that you got from the feedback that, you know, you will include or you didn't think about?
We heard from parents who said, you know, in our perfect world, go to places where, you know, there's 12-foot tall fences with barbed wire and locked gates and our kids can't get out. And I kind of looking at them like, what are you talking about? Well, our kids are runners, but how do we do it so that our friends, you know, in the autism community feel like this place belongs to them too? Parents, they said anything just to slow our kids down.
So you're more than halfway to raising $2 million. You have support from the City of Milwaukee and the Department of Public Works as well. When do you plan to break ground and then open the park?
We may be doing a bigger fundraiser this fall, so stay tuned for that. We also are hoping for this fall to break ground with a deadline, ideally, for May 7th of 2027 for a ribbon cutting and a grand opening. I say May 7th because that timeline to give Stella hopefully the best birthday present she'll ever have.
That was Reese Schneider of Milwaukee. She's the mother of 10-year-old Stella, who is the inspiration for a new inclusive playground in the city of Milwaukee. The new play area is expected to break ground this fall after $2 million is raised. And now for a check of the forecast. Expect sunny to partly cloudy conditions and then turning mild. Highs expected in the mid to upper 70s. And then tonight, just a few clouds. Isolated showers are also possible toward the far west in the morning, and then lows will drop down into the low to mid 50s. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly over the northwest half of the state. Highs likely to reach in the upper 70s to low 80s. And that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Monday. Thanks so much for joining us. A special thanks to our producer today, Hope Kerwin. We'll see you back here tomorrow for more Wisconsin news.